Well, one of our blessings that we can count is the time that we have already spent together this morning. It's always an encouragement to be together and to worship together and to encourage each other with the faith that we share. I'm thankful for another opportunity that I have to share a lesson with you from the Word of God. The sermon this morning needs little introduction. I appreciate the thoughts that Peter shared with us as we partook of the Lord's Supper and remembered all that we have to be thankful for as Christians. And as I was thinking about this week and the occasion that many of us will have to celebrate a holiday that we call Thanksgiving, it made me think about all of the particular reasons that we have to be thankful as children of God. This country celebrates this holiday, which was declared a national holiday by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. And though the origin story of Thanksgiving is debatable and probably very different from my first grade Thanksgiving play's depiction of it, I do love this holiday. I was just talking to Bo before we started about turkey and dressing, and that's a good reason to like a holiday. But I love that we have a tradition in this country of gathering together with friends and family and sharing a special meal and giving thanks for the many blessings that we enjoy. And it's interesting to me that even secular people can see the value of being thankful. Even people who are not religious observe this tradition of gathering together and taking a moment to reflect on all that we have, all that we have to enjoy. But as wonderful as all of that is, we certainly have many more important reasons to be thankful than the observance of a national holiday or the continuing of some family tradition. Thankfulness is the conscious effort to bring our attention to what we have been given. And so for that reason, Christians ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the planet, because we have been given more than anybody else. I thought about what Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He said, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." It's because we have received Christ Jesus the Lord that we have the opportunity to walk in him, to grow in him, to become more like him, to more and more participate in all of the spiritual blessings that are made possible by him. And so if we are going to be people who resemble Christ, it will be because we are thankful for who he is and what he does for us. Colossians is filled with admonitions and encouragements about thanksgiving. And so we will spend some time in Colossians this morning. But the title of the lesson comes from this verse, that we ought to be people who are abounding in thanksgiving. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Abounding in thanksgiving. We'll consider the lesson in three different parts: the need for thanksgiving, the effects of thanksgiving, and the cultivation of thanksgiving. So we'll talk about why do we need it, what does it do for us, and how can we grow in it. And so first, to talk about the need for thanksgiving, I'd actually like to start with Romans chapter 1. And this is probably a fairly familiar text to you, but I'd like to read Romans 1 verses 18 through 23 and pay particular attention to what Paul says here about thankfulness. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So notice here that Paul identifies the problem of all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He's talking about where sin originates. He's talking about the problem of sin in its entirety. And what he describes is a willful ignorance. You see that in verse 19. He says, "What can be known about God is plain. All you have to do is look to the creation to see his eternal power and divine nature." That's what he says in verse 20. So God has made himself plain. He's made things about him knowable. But people who fail to acknowledge that will produce all kinds of sin in their lives. Ungodliness and unrighteousness come out of a failure to connect the blessings with the blesser, a failure to connect the gifts with the giver, the creation with the creator. And so that's why in verse 21 it says, "Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Without giving thanks to God, our thinking becomes futile, and our hearts become darkened. Have you ever experienced anything like that before in your life? Have there been times when you've just felt like your mind had sort of grown dull, your heart had grown dim? There might be lots of different reasons why that can happen. Where sometimes you just feel like everything is hard all the time, and you're just sort of moving through syrup, and you can hardly breathe, and like the color is just drained out of your world. There's lots of reasons, maybe, for that. But one reason that will cause that is ingratitude. If you fail to give thanks for the blessings that you have, if you live with a willful ignorance, it seems like the whole world is just a drudgery. Ingratitude will make you miserable. But not only will it make you miserable, it will lead you further and further away from God. See, that's why these people that Paul describes here exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things in verse 23. This is the root of idolatry. When we take the blessings of God for granted, then we fail to acknowledge him as the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we begin to pursue our desires apart from him. When we don't acknowledge what he gives us, we start to look for things that we want in other places. And that's what idolatry is. And so gratitude, I would say, is actually the foundation of every virtue. Gratitude is the foundation of every virtue. And the opposite is also true, that ingratitude is the foundation of every vice. Think about it. What sin could not be explained by a lack of gratefulness for who God is and what he's done? What sin could not be traced back to some unthankfulness on our part? I think this is really vividly demonstrated in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul is writing to Timothy about some horrific sins that he says are happening in this world and will continue to get worse. And we shouldn't be surprised. He says in verse 1, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. Like I said, there's a lot of disturbing things on that list. When you think about somebody who is abusive, somebody that is brutal, somebody that is treacherous, you think of somebody that is just really making a mess of themselves. And I think that it's very informative for us that in this list of horrific sins that Paul says characterize worldly people, right in the middle of it, in verse 2, is the word ungrateful. And the truth is, being ungrateful is really consistent with everything else on the list. Ungrateful people love themselves. Ungrateful people love money. Ungrateful people are proud and arrogant and hurtful. Because the heart of ingratitude is selfishness, self-centeredness, self-servingness. And if we weren't ungrateful, we would show appreciation for God and for others who are made in His image. And so the reason why we need thankfulness is because ingratitude is the first step towards spiritual ruin. When I was in college, there was a preacher that said something in a sermon that has always stuck with me. He said, "Thankful people don't fall away." And I have found that to be true. That ingratitude is so often the first step towards spiritual ruin. Unthankfulness is when we start to drift away from fellowship with God. But the more that we can be mindful of what we have in Him and voice our appreciation for what we have in Him, the closer that we'll stay with Him. And that really leads to this next section where I want to talk about the effects of thanksgiving. If we really need to be thankful, well then what does thankfulness do for us? What does thankfulness produce in us? What are the fruits or the effects of it? And I'd like to think about what Paul says back in Colossians chapter 1. Here in Colossians 1, he talks about how he's praying for the spiritual growth of these brethren. And look at what he says starting in verse 9. He says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Stop there for just a second. You notice how big of a prayer this is? I mean, Paul is using some all-encompassing language. He's talking about being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, being fully pleasing to Him. This is what all of us should be seeking. All of us ought to be trying to be everything that the Lord wants us to be in every way, and not satisfied until we grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But look at how he continues in verse 11. "Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." If we are going to be the people that God wants us to be, it will not be apart from His power and His wisdom working in us. And if we are going to be in fellowship with God, if we're going to have His power and His wisdom in us, it will be because we stay close to Him as thankful people who are constantly showing how much we appreciate the blessings that only He can provide. And so verse 12 is key. "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thanksgiving really helps us to maintain the proper perspective. Without it, we might become proud of what we have, proud of what we've achieved, proud of what we've accomplished. Look at me, look at what I've done. Or we might despair about what we don't have. Oh man, I wish I had more of this. I wish I had something different. I wish I had a different circumstance or situation. And so Thanksgiving really keeps us grounded. It keeps us anchored. It keeps us humble. It gives us contentment. When we remember that God is the one who has provided for all of our needs, we'll remember that we continue to be reliant on Him for everything. And what Paul reminds the Colossians is that with Him, the most important things are secure. See, we have uncertainty that we deal with in this life. I don't know for sure what my health will be like tomorrow. I don't know what my finances will be like tomorrow. I don't know what my relationships with people might be like tomorrow. But I know that as long as I'm faithful to the Lord, I have an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for me. And when that resonates deeply within us, when that becomes the most real thing in our lives and to our identity, then we gain a perspective that nothing else can touch. And the more thankful we are, the more God's power, God's wisdom continues to impact us, keeps us from being too discouraged. I really liked what he says here in verse 11. If we want to talk about what are the effects of Thanksgiving or what are the fruits of Thanksgiving, in verse 11 he talks about being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. You know what I've noticed about thankful people? Thankful people always have those three qualities: endurance, patience, and joy. When you're truly thankful for what God has given to you, then you can endure tremendous hardship. You can be patient with countless frustrations. You can rejoice in any circumstance. And so the fruit of Thanksgiving is endurance and patience and joy. You know who I thought of when I was thinking about this verse? I thought about Keith Johnson. Some of you might remember him. He was a regular visitor that came here often, and he passed away from lung cancer in 2023. And Keith had all kinds of issues in his life. He had personal relationship challenges. He had challenges in his family. And as his health got worse and worse, and he even got to the point where he knew that the end was near, he always had a smile on his face. You'd ask him how he's doing, and he would tell you about how God had been good to him. I saw in his example what it looks like to let your thankfulness produce endurance and patience and joy. That's the power that God wants us to have in Him. And so the practical question for us this morning is, how do we cultivate that kind of thanksgiving? How do we develop a habit of becoming thankful people who have access to all of this spiritual richness that God wants us to have? And I'd like for us to spend the majority of our time now in these three verses of Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, I think that Paul gives us some very practical instruction about how to become more thankful people. And he says here in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are the same verses that Bob read for us earlier this morning. And you might notice that three times in three verses, Paul tells the Colossians, be thankful. That's an emphasis in this letter to them. And I want to notice the habits that accompany thankfulness. I think that Paul points out three things in these verses that will help us to cultivate more thanksgiving in our lives. And the first is here in verse 15. To let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What does that mean? Well, it means that you have to allow the peace of Christ to govern your heart. That's a choice that you have to make. It doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't just sort of accidentally become true of you. But you have to choose to let Christ have the reins of your heart and trust him. That's what it means. Sometimes that looks like just taking some deep breaths and remembering that just as God has provided for you in the past, he will continue to provide for you in the future. Sometimes it means deliberately taking some time to reflect on those physical and spiritual blessings that you enjoy. But we ought to remember that Christ has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so when we take comfort in the peace of Christ, we have the capacity to be thankful for all of the assurance that we find in him. We can let go of all of the worry and the anxiety that obscures gratitude when we have the peace that Christ wants us to have. A second habit is in verse 16, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you think there's a difference between reading the word and letting it dwell in you richly? I think there is. It certainly starts with reading the word. It's never going to dwell in you richly if you don't read it, but it goes far beyond that, doesn't it? Paul is talking about savoring the word, meditating on the word, letting our teaching and admonishing and singing flow out of a delight in God's word. That's a habit that you can develop. That's something that can become something that you do that produces thankfulness. And when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, then we're really just eliminating the room for selfish thoughts or worldly thoughts. We're filling our minds with things that are good and lovely and beautiful and true, and we are letting ourselves have constant ammunition for a constant stream of thanksgiving. A third habit is in verse 17. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think what Paul's reminding us of here is that there is nothing in our lives that is excluded from our service to the Lord. We should be mindful of our relationship with him in everything that we say and do. And so when you go to work, you might have lots of frustrations there, but you view that in light of your service to Christ. You have an opportunity to let others see Christ living in you there. You have an opportunity to make a living for yourself, to provide for yourself and for other people, to do good in various ways, and it reframes and it refocuses us on what God has given us. When you're rushing to make dinner, and the kids are screaming, and the laundry is piled up, and you feel just really stressed about all of that, When you view it in light of your service to Christ, you are reminded of all the things you have to be thankful for. You've got kids that love you. You've got food to eat. You've got clothes to wear. You have the opportunity to use all of those resources to do good and to bring glory to Christ. And so when we start to really let this be the way that we think and the way that we live, when we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, we start to appreciate all of the many reasons that we have to be giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I'll just add a fourth habit, and that's from Colossians 4 and verse 2. Where here he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Watchfulness is an interesting quality to recommend for prayer. Usually one of the first things you learn when you're a kid about how to pray is that you need to close your eyes. And so Paul is saying you need to be praying with your eyes open, so to speak. Whether that is metaphorical or literal, you can be watchful in your prayers with your eyes closed, but you know what might actually be good sometimes is to actually pray with your eyes open. You know, there's no verse that says you can't do that. That if you sat in your prayer place and you just had your eyes opened and thought about all of the beauty that surrounds you, all of the blessings that God has given to you, sometimes that makes us more ready to give thanks when we are surrounded by those kinds of thoughts. But I think the idea is that sometimes prayer can just be where we fall into old habits and old routines. Maybe we just run through the same words and phrases again and again and we say, okay, I've done it. But that's not what God wants prayer to be. Prayer is an opportunity for us to reflect on what's going on around us in our world and within ourselves in the presence of God. And if we are more vigilant or more watchful in our prayers, we'll be more mindful of all the reasons we have to give thanks. Just the simple fact that you woke up this morning with life and breath is a reason to give thanks. And besides all of the physical blessings that we enjoy, we have an inheritance in heaven that Paul reminded them of in Colossians chapter 1. And so between the blessings of this life and the life to come, there are infinite reasons for us to give thanks. Really, we just need to stop and notice them. And so it's like the song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I think that's good advice. Reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, where Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so if you want to cultivate thanksgiving, then you need to constantly turn your attention from the blessings to the blesser, from every good and perfect gift to the good and perfect giver. We cultivate thanksgiving when we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, when we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when we continue steadfastly in prayer. And the beautiful thing about this is that thanksgiving often produces more thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is infectious. You know, if you've ever been in that dull-minded, dim-hearted kind of state where you're just sort of consumed by your own worries and cares and self-centeredness, and then you're around somebody like Keith Johnson, it convicts you. When you're in your own funk because you're not really seeing all that God has given you, and you're around somebody that is seeing it with clarity, it makes you realize that you need to be more like them. And when you start to do good for other people, then you start to give other people reasons to give thanks. I like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9. Here he's encouraging those Corinthians to give to the needy saints that are in Jerusalem. And look at what he says in verse 10. He says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. I think that's a wonderful thought. That Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to do good, to get outside of themselves, to contribute to the needs of others, not only so that their physical needs will be met, but so that God will have more and more thanksgiving surrounding him that he deserves. And the truth is, somebody might be thanking God for you by name. And that's a beautiful thought. And I often thank God for many of you by name. I thank God for the encouragement that you give me. I thank God for the support that you give me. I thank God for the example that you provide and for all of the work that you're doing. And when we thank God for each other by name, then God is getting the glory that he deserves. And when we become thankful people who serve each other, then we increase the thanksgiving that comes before his throne. Well, let's look at one more scripture. If you've ever wondered how Jesus feels about thanksgiving, then really you just need to consider his experience with the 10 lepers in Luke 17. In Luke 17, in verse 11, it says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Here are 10 lepers who all received extraordinary blessings from Jesus. And it would have been very easy for them to just take those blessings and go about their business like 9 of them did. But one of them was so mindful of the blessing that he went back to thank the one who gave it to him. Verse 16 says, "He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." And Jesus' response to that in verse 17 implies that really that's what all 10 of them should have done. Here's the reality for us. Jesus died on the cross so that we could receive the extraordinary blessing of salvation. And if we can see what he did for us and just go on our way without returning him thanks, then shame on us. If we don't respond in grateful service to him, then we have not yet fully appreciated what the gift is that he's provided. Sometimes I think it's helpful to just imagine looking at Jesus Christ, coming before the cross, seeing him dying there for your sins, and then telling him, that just really doesn't mean too much to me. I'm just going to go do my own thing instead. And I think none of us would like to actually do that, but if we can understand what Jesus has done and it doesn't change us, if we don't respond in grateful service, then that's essentially what we're doing. But when we truly appreciate what Christ has done for us, we'll become like this one leper. We'll come and fall down at his feet, giving him thanks and praising God. And that's a kind of gratitude that will continue to shape our walk with him. We started in Colossians chapter 1 talking about, as you received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. And that as we walk in him, and as we're rooted in him, and as we grow in him, that every step of the journey is marked by thanksgiving for the blessings that he's provided for us. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, if you believe that he gave his life to save you, are you thankful for it? And if you are you willing to serve him?